Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
People are always focusing on the cost of making mistakes, but they don't really think about the cost of not doing stuff.
We can often be so scared by the initial cost of doing something that it causes inaction.
But if you don't take decisions and you don't back your judgment, you'll be crawling around in your ass forever. There comes a time for everyone when they have to take the information that they've got and they have to just back their judgment.
You're stressing about, well, what if I can't keep the guy busy? Is he going to cost me $30, $40 an hour? I'm like, okay. So if he's busy 50% of the time, he only brings in 60 grand extra to your profit?
They want great income. They want freedom and they want flexibility and they want to have a great life. If you don't make these decisions, you're not going to get that. Business is about learning from experience and improving as quickly as you can.
Yes.
So you make the decision work. So many business owners find themselves in this position, unable to commit to a decision because they fear making a mistake, and it's costing them big time. Tune into this episode where we discuss the importance of backing your judgment and the steps that the action takers use to beat procrastination for good.
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. We will help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button and let's get started. To the podcast.
Welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here with Phil Smith, my co-host. How's
G'day,
it going?
Mate.
You going well?
Always good, mate. Always good. Ready to roll.
Yeah, let's get into it, man. What are we digging into?
Well, we're talking about how when you can have issues in your business, it might be employees, clients, cash flow, needing a new workshop, whatever, and you've been kicking around all the options in your head. And you make a decision in your head only to go back on it before taking any action. So you're thinking to yourself, what if I make a mistake? Or what if it goes wrong? What if I lose money? Maybe I should just wait and see or try to get some more information. Or maybe I'll ask someone else for their opinion, my accountant, my wife, a friend, my dog, who knows. And then the classic, I'm too busy right now to deal with this. So yeah, I'll just come back to it later. And maybe things aren't so bad and we'll just stick to the status quo. And I think we can all relate to this situation.
Yeah, kind of paralysis by analysis, things going around in your head, knowing you need to do something. But unfortunately, things don't change without taking action. And being able to back your judgment to actually make decisions and take action is really critical to growth and success. And I think, let's be honest, a lot of us really struggle with that. We fear making mistakes. What if we get it wrong? What if it doesn't work out? And it holds us in a position of actually not doing stuff. And that really is a dangerous position to be in, because nothing changes. And there's a whole lot of consequences to that. So on the pod today, what we're going to do is just understand that it is tough to back your judgment, but there are some steps that you need to be able to take to make decisions. And that's really important to back your judgment and actually get in there and make stuff happen.
Yeah, action is critical. So I'm sure you have a story to kick us off.
I do. And I have to acknowledge my source for the story. Good old Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Help me with this one. It's the story of three frogs on a log. And
not the song though, right?
No, which I've sung many times to the children. But anyway, there's three frogs on a log and two of those frogs decide to jump off. And the question is, how many frogs are still on the log?
Well, the obvious answer is one, but that's not the answer.
That's not the answer. The answer is three, because they've decided to jump off the log, but they actually haven't done anything.
Absolutely.
And there's no action taken. So, decision is fine, but it's not really a decision until something actually happens. Action is taken, and then consequences and behavior change. And that's the key to success here. So you don't want to end up being one of those two logs who two frogs. Could be two logs, two frogs on the log who've, kind of thought they've done something, but they really haven't.
Yeah.
We want to dig into why people get in that situation today. And ultimately, it's often about not backing their judgment and getting caught up in procrastination and just getting stuck and things not changing. And that's a big problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we don't back our judgment and take action, we can run into some pretty negative downsides, right?
We can. And I think to sort of kick it off is, people are always focusing on the cost of making mistakes, but they don't really think about the cost of not doing stuff. And that's a massive cost. And when you get stuck in that kind of that stuck position, it's really a cycle of indecision. You don't make a decision, you stay where you are, and nothing really changes. And you get frustrated, opportunities pass you by, there could be great opportunities, but you're just sort of stuck mentally and emotionally. And maybe it's hiring someone. You see a great person, maybe an apprentice you want to hire, you thought that'd be really good, and you're kind of equivocating back and forth, and all of a sudden they're gone. Someone else has taken them, and that whole opportunity is gone. Or it might be a different type of work that you want to get involved with. Maybe you want to do some larger projects, and you think about it, and you go back and forth, and then opportunity's gone because that project has been taken by someone else. And ultimately, you do lose money, either directly by not taking opportunities, or the lack of growth in your business. It gets stalled, and instead of you know, your revenue growing, it kind of stays the same and you kind of don't see it, but that's a massive indirect loss of money and potential. And eventually, and this is the really, I guess, the dangerous part is your confidence takes a hit. If you continually find yourself in that position of not backing your judgment, of being stuck, of procrastinating, you don't actually feel good about yourself. I think if we're all really honest and we go into that deep, dark part of ourselves, some of our deeper and darker, Phil, but anyway, is we do feel pretty shit about where we're at if we don't make decisions. And that robs your confidence and you just don't grow as a person. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
And if you think about your business, often if you don't make decisions, you know, if you're still stuck out on the field, on the tools, you're the technician in the business, you're doing all the doing, that's probably because you haven't made enough decisions about hiring the right people, putting it out there, looking for different work, maybe getting some new systems or equipment or whatever it is, and you'll be stuck as a technician. You won't really grow a proper business. And in that situation, over the long term, a bunch of stress and overwhelm just creep in. You just kind of get overwhelmed because nothing's changed. Your energy runs out. And all of it is driven by the fact that you haven't been able to make a decision and take the action needed to actually crack on.
Yeah.
And like we said, nothing changes until a decision is made and action is taken on that decision. And so that's super important.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas on the other hand, if we do back our judgment and make some decisions, but then actually take action, you know, pretty big upside.
Yeah. Well, you make progress. And sometimes it may not be the progress you want, but at least you know the decision you made wasn't a great decision. Like, you can't know how good a decision is until you've actually made it and taken some action, I think is the key thing. And so you'll learn, I guess, is the real important thing here. Once you take decisions, back your judgment and make things happen, you'll learn. That's how you learn. Like, we all learn by, like, you didn't learn to run by just running. You know, you crawled and then you walked and you fell over lots and you learned. And it's exactly the same with your business. But if you don't take decisions and you don't back your judgment, you'll be crawling around on your ass forever.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in business.
If you manage to even crawl.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can take advantage of the opportunities that come along. You know, you'll see an opportunity, take it, and a whole new world of opportunities will open up. You make more money in the long run. There's no doubt about that. You'll grow a team, you'll grow your business, grow your revenue, grow your profit. And that's what business is all about. And here's the most important thing for me is when you make decisions, you take action and you see that you have some control and some power over your destiny, it gives you tremendous confidence. Like you're like, yeah, okay, I've got this. I can do this. And that basically feeds on itself. Confidence builds confidence, which is huge. And eventually it'll allow you to get off the tools, out of the field, grow a business, which gives you time, money, and freedom, and a whole lot less stress, a whole lot more lifestyle, a whole lot more fun. Rather than being trapped in this, oh, can I make this work kind of, like, I can almost feel that actually when I'm talking about how that feels.
Yeah.
And
we've
so
all
you,
been there.
Yeah, you can get out of that. And just, you make decisions, take action, change happens. But it is, it's absolutely critical that you back your judgment to do that as well. And we really want to dig into, you know, why that's so important and how to do that today.
Yeah, well, before we do that, maybe a good place to start would be, let's go through some of the types of things that, you know, tradies and contractors don't back their judgment on so we get some context.
Yeah, well, there's lots of things that we find, you know, when we talk with our members that are struggles, like hiring a new person is a classic example. When to do it? Like, we twist ourselves inside out. Is it the right time? You know, should I wait longer? Should I get the work first? Should I wait for the work to come? Is this person going to be any good? What happens if I make a mistake hiring this person? Is someone else going to be better? Should I wait for someone else or should I go with this person? Are they good enough? Like, this whole...
I haven't got every single system and policy and JD and stuff written already, and I need to build all of that before I take the person on. And
Yeah, exactly.
List goes on.
Yeah, it does. You know, with hiring also, it's like, well, geez, I'm pretty busy and maybe I need a different role. Maybe I need an ops manager. Oh, but is it the right time? And should I hire someone inside my business or should I get someone outside of my business? Should I hire, you know, should I promote my best tradesperson? What happens if this doesn't work out? Can I afford it now? Do I need more work? Same thing with an estimator or getting an admin or a GM. All those roles, often there's just this whole cycle of indecision and inaction that can go on for months and years for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Pricing is another one. Oh, well, should I increase my prices? What happens if people don't like it? What happens if I don't get as much work? Oh, I could never price that much. We're not worth it. Like, this is
Yeah, people wouldn't pay it.
Yeah, yeah. So all of that goes on. Maybe it's I need a bigger workshop. Maybe I, you know, should I lease or buy? Like that conundrum can go on for months for people.
Yeah.
Vehicles and equipment.
Big purchases, CNC machine, you know, new digger excavator, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's expensive stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a scaffolding company, you got to buy a bunch more scaffolding, you know. It's always a daunting thing and you can procrastinate on it, right?
Yeah. Difficult conversations are another one. Like, I need to talk to this person or it's driving me crazy, but I kind of don't. I know I need to. I psych myself up this day to do it. I have a chat with them and I don't actually address the issue that I meant to address them on during that, like all of that stuff is part of it.
What if it goes badly? What if they, you know, get angry at me? What if we have a big fight? That kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, marketing again, like digital marketing or whatever, you know, I've got to film these videos of myself, put my face on social media, you know, like, oh God, what if people laugh at me? What if, you know, kids are, I know that this happens, right? Yeah. I mean, like kids at school talk to my kids at school about, hey, I saw your dad on the internet and, you know, like, he looked like an idiot or whatever, you know, that happens, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. It's not fun and you can definitely procrastinate.
Yeah, so there's lots of things there and maybe if you're listening, some of these resonate with you. Maybe there's some other ones where you've turned yourself inside out and you really haven't backed your judgment and you've left this decision too long or you haven't made it and that's been costing you.
Yeah, big time. And I think that really leads us to the second point, which is just actually looking at that cost of inaction. Like, and in this case, that's often way higher than, you know, the cost of you taking the action in the first place. And, you know, it costs you in your future. I think that's the hard part. Like, if we look at this, often the fear, you know, and from a cost perspective is, let's say we're hiring a new tradesman and we're looking at, you know, the cost of what that's going to cost me per hour to have this new guy. Like, man, this is going to be $30, $40 an hour potentially. And you know, what if I don't have the work and I've got to pay this money and I've got to get another van, I've got to get uniforms, I've got to get tools. This is going to be an expensive thing. But what you're not looking at is the 25 to 30 grand worth of revenue that tradesman's going to bring in per month. And if you're looking at this, 20, even if we look at the lower end, say 25 grand, you know, 25 grand a month, we're looking at sort of 300 Gs a year. If you've got a 40% GP, you're looking at, you know, $120,000 worth of GP. And you're like, well, I still got to pay the guy. I'm like, you already have, you know, that was the other 60%, that's in your cost of goods. So having that tradesman is going to, you know, bring in another potentially $120,000 into your profit margin per year. And you know, you're stressing about, well, what if I can't keep the guy busy? Is he going to cost me $30-$40 an hour? I'm like, okay, so if he's busy 50% of the time, he only brings in 60 grand, you know, extra to your profit. I mean, still pretty good. 60 grand you didn't have before. And I think, you know, we always talk about, you know, the cost of action versus the cost of inaction, and one of them weighs in pounds, the other one weighs in tons. And I think you really got to look at not just what it will cost you to do something, but what it will cost you if you don't do it. Again, like, look at hiring a role that might be off the tools, say an estimator. It's like, yeah, you might have to pay this person, you know, 100 grand plus per year. It's an expensive role into your OPEX. But if you think about that, there's 40 extra hours worth of pricing per week. How much extra work could you win if someone's doing that? And considering it's their full-time job, you know, you probably actually get a much more accurate job done of the pricing. You probably actually maintain your GP at a higher level as well. And so not only do they add a ton of revenue, but they probably added at a better margin as well. And I mean, like this is an exponential return on the role. And I think we can often be so scared by the initial cost of doing something that it causes inaction. And even if it just slows the action down, let's take that tradesman, for example. Let's say that, you know, you're looking at that over a year, it's pretty easy, but let's say you dilly-dally on it for 3 months. Well, cool, that could be, you know, 60 to 90 grand worth of revenue that you now don't have over those next 3 months, because you were scared of paying the guy 30 bucks an hour. You know what I mean? And so you've really got to not just look at the cost of what you got to do, but look at the cost of if you don't do it. Like, what would that bring in if you did it?
Yeah, and you know, that's those dollar figures are critical. And also, if you think about what you want out of your business, why are most people in business? Because they want great income. They want freedom and they want flexibility and they want to, you know, have a great life. And that requires lots of decisions. And so, not only looking at the cost, but looking at that big picture, that sort of long-term vision about why you're in business, is if you don't make these decisions, you're not going to get that.
Exactly.
It's going to actually cost you your future. It's going to cost you the time that you want to spend with your family and friends and doing the things you enjoy. Ultimately, that lack of decisions will cost you your health and your energy. And so refocusing or reframing the decision around what is it costing you in the longer term is absolutely critical. And that gets some leverage on ourselves to stop us you know, taking the weak option and not actually taking the action that we know we need to.
Well, exactly. I mean, you can take the dollar figures out and say, hey, look, it might be an extra overhead to take on this admin role. But the cost of not doing it is, well, I keep invoicing at night.
That's right.
Instead of hanging out with my family. You know, I keep, you know, scheduling jobs all through the day and night, taking phone calls. I keep having to do all of this admin work in the weekend instead of going to my kids, you know, softball game or whatever it might be. And so the thing is like, there's the cost on a monetary factor, but there's a cost on your life. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, clients that we work with, they come to us really for you know, more money, more time, more freedom. But actually it's freedom, isn't it? Because more money and more time put together equals more freedom. And if we think about freedom as a concept, like, that's really the ability to walk away from your business at any point for as long as you want, and everything continues to work without you. And if you think about that concept, it means there needs to be someone or something that takes care of every single function in your entire business without you. That's the only time you get true freedom. And if you think about that, if you're umming and ahhing about whether you should hire an estimator, it's like, well, you're going to one day. You know, should I get an ops manager? It's like, well, you're going to have to one day. Should I get admin help? Well, you're going to have to one day. You know, like, you're going to need to do all these things one day, or otherwise, you know, if you don't have an estimator, you're the estimator. If you don't have an admin, you're the admin. So to actually achieve that freedom, these are decisions you're going to have to make and actions you're going to have to take anyway. So, you know, when you put it in that perspective, it's like, if I want the freedom, I have to do these things. If I don't do these things, well, then I don't get the freedom, and that's actually the opportunity cost.
That's exactly right.
It's really that simple.
And the thing with this is, it's all good to think, well, that's my future, but it's the thought process is, well, maybe I don't have all the information I need to make this decision. I need to find it a little bit more to make the right decision. The thing is, life is not like that. Business and life and anything in life is not like that. There comes a time for everyone when they have to take the information that they've got and they have to just back their judgment. There is no perfect answer. There's no perfect information in business or life or any part of life. I haven't found it. and I've tried, trust me. And so you have to back your judgment. You have to at some stage make a call about what you're going to do and just get on and do it. And I know that for some people this is harder. You know, it depends on your personality. If you're a very analytical person, you know, we do a lot of profiling using a thing called DISC, and people who are high C's, they like to get into all the details, all the rules, all the structures. It's harder for some people to do this.
Well, someone who's a high C will never, ever, ever be able to have enough information because they crave a level of certainty that's actually, you know, can be quite unrealistic at times.
Yeah, and other people, you know, do find it easier, but nobody finds it.
No one's
simple.
Easy. Yeah. I'm on the other end of that scale where I'm like complete opposite, and I actually don't need a whole lot of information. And this is still difficult. So I think like it's
sometimes you should probably take a bit more information. I'm just saying.
I'm just lucky I got you, man, because you're a lot more analytical than me. I think like I'm gonna bring the action, and you're gonna bring the.
That's right. Sometimes that's a good thing too. You know, if there's other people in your life who you can borrow off who have a slightly different decision-making style that can help you get a bit unstuck. But just know that you'll never have all the information. And if you're trying to find more information to make a decision, then that's a problem. We see it when people want to, you know, they want coaching. And sometimes people want to find out all the details about how everything works because they think when they do that, that'll help them make the right decision. But they never make a decision because there is no amount of information that can stop that fear or that uncertainty that you have in your life. Eventually, you've got to back yourself and say, this is what I'm going to do, which is massive. And I guess the reason people want all that information is because there is some fear under this.
Yeah, and I think the thing is like, when you think about that fear, you know, a lot of the time the fear that we have is like, what if it doesn't work, right? But you can't know unless you try. Like, I just think about these kids I saw having a race at my son's school the other day. And a bunch of them line up on one line on the field, and they're going to race to the other end of the field. And they start off about halfway through, one of the kids stops. The rest of them all run through, and there's a winner, and there's people that didn't win. And they look back at this guy who stopped in the middle of the field, and they go, what happened? And he goes, oh, well, I wasn't racing anyway, so whatever. And basically he pulled out. So somewhere along the way he decided, you know what, I might not win this, and he pulled out. But do you know who came last? Him. He didn't even cross the finish line. And so the thing is, he didn't even give himself a chance to win. He pulled out. And so the thing is, it's like he might think, you know, his fear in that case, if I might not win, stopped him from actually trying to finish the race and potentially win. But the hard thing is that all he did was guarantee he comes last. And so I think that fear often, you know, it's actually designed to protect us. Like, I think we want to banish fear, but that's not a real thing. Like, you can't banish it. You have to just understand that it's designed to protect us. And we think about fear, I mean, it's really, you know, if you look at it as, you know, as a acronym, it's you know, it's false expectations appearing real. And so again, fear is going to kill more dreams than failure ever did. You know, when you fail, you have a chance to learn. Yeah, and you have a chance to know what could I have won, and what could I do better next time. Fear is holding us back to protect us. It's projecting these false expectations to try to, you know, keep us out of trouble. And so you just have to understand that. Don't try to banish it. Just reframe it into a learning opportunity. It's like, this is something which is trying to protect me, and you think, okay, cool, thank you for the protection, but in this case I'm just going to gun it anyway. And then, hey, look, if you win and you get a great outcome, awesome, amazing, you had nothing to be scared of. And if you don't, and you know, you fail, well, reframe that into, well, I didn't fail, I learned something, and next time I have a better chance of winning. So, you know, it's like you said earlier, it's, you know, think about the kid learning to walk. You know, the only way you ever learn to walk is to fail at it 1,000 times. And I think in adulthood, we think if we fail, part of the fear is often around shame. You know, like, hey, look, what if people think I'm an idiot? What if everyone laughs because I did something silly? You know, a lot of fear can be wrapped up in that. But it's funny, you know, when you're learning to walk, no one laughs at the kid who falls over. You think, well, he's learning. And it's funny how in adulthood, actually, no one's going to laugh at you either. And in fact, the only people that might judge you for your failures are probably people that have never tried to do what you're doing and never will. And that's why no one will ever remember their name. So who cares what they think anyway? And I reckon you just got to get on with it.
I really resonate with that story you told about the kid. And the thing with that kid who stopped is they might not have been the best runner, and maybe they wouldn't have won the race, which is fine. But the thing is, if they'd finished that race, they'll be better for the next race.
Yeah.
And the race is not against everyone else anyway. It's against yourself. And it's about you being the best you can be in business. And taking all the action you can take in business,
yeah,
because that'll get you to where you want to go.
Well, that's the best thing about business, right? Is it's not like a sprint race,
no.
where there's a gold medal and a silver medal. No. It's like that you can't win. All you can do is get better than you are. It's
and
more
everyone
like,
can make great money. This is the thing.
That's it.
So, and the thing with fear, I think, is that it's really important to understand. If you find yourself in this position where you're really doubting your judgment and you're locked up by, yeah, what if things go wrong? Understand your mind is very powerful. And if you're focusing on what might go wrong, you're creating the emotional experience of it going wrong already.
Hmm.
But it's not real. It's not real. It hasn't happened. And so you're experiencing the emotion of failure and you haven't failed yet. And so many people are locked into that cycle of experiencing the emotion of failure before it happens. And what's the result? Well, they never do anything. So therefore, they create their own failure.
Yeah,
much better.
All you do is make it a certainty.
That's right.
Like the kid that stopped.
That's right. Much better to focus on, hey, when this goes well, how will I feel? And that'll give you the positive energy that you need to make the decision and crack on. So that's very important from a, you know, sort of a psychological Jedi mind tricks
thing. I saw something which cracked me up the other day. If you'll indulge another story, which is there was a post online, and it was supposed to be a joke. You know, a guy found a hack where him and his brother are about to jump in the pool, and his brother says, last one to jump in the pool's an idiot. And then his brother quickly jumped in the pool, and then the guy writing it says, but you know what? I realized that if I never jump in the pool, that technically he's the last one that jumped in the pool, and he's still an idiot to this day. And, you know, it was pretty funny, but I was thinking about it later. I'm like, yeah, but your brother got to have a swim and you had to sit there on the side and watch him. So it's like, yeah, good for you, bro.
Who's
like,
the idiot?
Yeah, you're not an idiot, but your brother was swimming in the pool and you're just watching. Like, I think he won, man.
Yeah, that's right.
and I think it's the same thing here, right?
And with all of this, this is the key thing is when you make a decision, then you get to make the decision right by the action you take, because no decision is perfect. And so you make a decision and then you do everything within your power to make it work as well. And this is really critical. And the way you do this is you make a decision, then you get feedback on the decision. And so in business context, this is pretty cool because you get quantifiable feedback. You run your weekly KPIs, your financial measures, your monthly financials, and you can see whether this is working. You can see and track quality. You can see and track client satisfaction. Mm. And you can adjust accordingly. If something is not giving you the result you want, you make a change. And it's kind of what you create. The decision is what you create. It may not be the perfect decision, but you make it work and you course correct after the fact.
That's it. Because no decision's ever final.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
It's something you're gonna make that decision, you're gonna tweak it from there.
And here's a classic example. You hire an operations manager, and I've seen this happen before. People will like, great, well, I've got this amazing tradesperson, I'm gonna make them operations manager, and they do that really excited, and after 2 or 3 months they're like, this guy's really good, but he's really struggling. Like, he keeps jumping in the van and going out and doing jobs, and he's really struggling to just manage the guys. And all of a sudden you realize that actually he's probably just not the right fit for this role. You realize that leadership and management skills are probably the most important thing in this role, not on-the-job technical skills. Hmm. And so you might have a discussion with this person. Either you retrain them and give them the training that they need and the awareness they need to change, or you're like, actually, this is not really working out. You know, perhaps you need to go back to another role and we hire someone who has those skills. Hmm. And that's how you grow and learn. That's how you make a decision work. But if you don't make a decision, you could spend 6 months kicking that idea around in your head, but you'll never know because you don't get the experience that you need. And business is about learning from experience and improving as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
So you make the decision work.
Yeah, absolutely. I reckon we should kick around some hacks. Like, how do we actually deal with this? How do we get past this procrastination and start taking some action? So what do you reckon?
I think the first little hack is you got to shrink the decision down to a smaller step, the smallest step of action. So what I mean by that is, you know, if you want to hire someone and you're kind of concerned about it, first step is just write the job ad. Just write the job ad and get that done. That's the first step. The second step is, well, I'll place the job ad on an online directory or in my socials. That's the second step. Third step is, well, I'll field some inquiries and do some qualification interviews. So you break it right down. And I think about it like climbing a mountain. Like, you don't just climb Everest.
Mm.
Like, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. And if all you ever did was, I'm just going to go climb the mountain, you wouldn't succeed. You've got to go through all the steps, which is like the preparation, get to base camp, and then every step you take along the way. Like, you can't walk a mountain without, you know, focusing on each step, because they're all different.
Maybe try some different smaller mountains first and work your way up. You know, like,
possibly.
There's lots of steps you could take, but I think if you just go right for the whole hog, you know, straight off the bat, you're actually limiting your chance of success anyway. You're not making it impossible. You're just making it harder. You break it back to smaller steps and you're like, this is actually very achievable and I can break this into a workable plan. It's not a pie in the sky, let's just have a shot at it kind of thing. It's like, no, I'm going to get there because I've worked this back into manageable steps.
That's the key, isn't it?
And they're not overwhelming.
So. It's manageable steps, which means you're not overwhelmed psychologically and emotionally. You're like, yeah, I can do that step.
Mm.
And then you build momentum and then it starts to take on a life of its own. Yeah. I mean, I still find that even preparing podcasts sometimes, you know, to get started is really hard. But once I get started, take a few steps, it's really easy. Mm. And most things are like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting down and staring at the screen's the hardest part. The start. which really is next hack for me is you got to have a deadline and you got to tell someone that deadline. So again, if you think about you running the podcast, mate, it's like if you're preparing an episode for us to talk about, it's like you've got a deadline of when that needs to be ready by so that we have a chance to actually, you know, record that episode. So that's really important. If there was no deadline and we just record it any time and we didn't release an episode every week, well, it might never happen some weeks. So, having a deadline is critical. So if you've got a decision that you need to make, you know, make a deadline for yourself, even if it's not one that's enforced externally, like, hey, you got to pay your tax on time or otherwise the government's probably not going to be happy. You know, that's a externally enforced deadline, but you can make internal deadlines for yourself. Hey, I'm going to get this step done by Friday, no matter what. And then the important thing is tell someone that. So if you don't tell anyone, it's really easy to let yourself down. Like, no one really cares. Like, if I say, hey, I'm going to, you know, write this email by Friday. And the hard part is that you get to Friday, you haven't written the email. You're like, oh, that's all right. I'll do it on Monday and that'll be fine. New deadline is Monday. But you're going to keep doing that. And you keep kicking that can down the road. Whereas if you tell someone, hey, I've got this email, I'm going to have it written by Friday. I'm telling you so you can hold me accountable. And I'm going to tell you on Friday that it's done. And if I don't, I need you to, you know, kick my butt about that. So, you know, at that point, you're going to get it done, right? Like, it's the same with going to the gym. If I tell myself I'm going to the gym tomorrow, hey, look, I may or may not be there. If I say to you, hey, I'll meet you at the gym at 8 a.m., now I've got to let you down, I'm more likely to come. Now, at this point, if I say, hey, I'm going to pick you up for the gym at 7:30 so we can be there for 8 o'clock. I have to go because otherwise you're not even there. And you'll be sitting outside your house at 7:30 waiting for me. So again, telling somebody else and creating a deadline and a time frame is critical. It means you actually kind of have to take action.
Yeah. The next hack we've talked about this is just to focus on the cost of an action. So ask yourself, rather than what's this going to cost if it goes wrong, what am I giving up if I don't do this? That's really critical because that creates leverage on yourself. You get real with about what's important in the long term. And I like this one too. Build a habit of small, fast decision making, because decision making in action is actually a habit. It's a skill that you learn. And so it might be when you get an email, just respond to it straight away. Mm. Like take action straight away when things come in. I think that's really helpful as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think last one for me is put the decision in perspective. Like, is this really life or death? You know, like I think a lot of the time, even though logically we know something's not life or death, emotionally we feel like it is. And we can really blow things out of proportion, make a mountain out of a molehill. You know, I want to do this marketing, put myself out there, you know, there'll be videos and photos of me online and, you know, oh God, like people are going to think I'm an idiot and it could be the end of the world. I lose all my friends, you know, my wife will leave me and my business will shut down. All my clients will think I'm a jackass. It's like, no, they won't. And more importantly is even if they do, you're not going to die. You can recover from this. It's not the end of the world. You know, I put my prices up. A few people might say no to them, sure. But did you die? No. And honestly, like, a lot of people won't say no. You'll just get a better margin. And even if you lost 10% of your work, it doesn't matter. You're probably still actually netting more dollars at the end of the day because your margin's higher on the other 90. So like the thing is a lot of the time we just blow things out of proportion and it's unnecessary. And so I think just really questioning ourselves, like, is it actually going to be that bad? What's really the worst that could happen?
Yeah,
is going to help put in perspective for you.
I like the perspective as, you know, will I be worrying about this in a month's time?
Probably not.
So then why are you worrying about it now? Because it's not really that important.
Yeah.
And the thing is, most people really suck at backing themselves and making decisions because they never really get started.
That's it.
They just don't get good at it. And it is a skill to develop. So it's about actually just picking up your coconuts and getting into it, really. Mm. And if you do that, be brave. Realize that it's not life and death. You're going to get results. You actually start making things happen. You'll learn from it, and you'll feel super good about yourself. There's just nothing worse than knowing that you're not living your best life because you're living in fear and not backing your judgment. That's not a great place to live.
100% agree. All right, cool. Well, I think we have some good stuff, so should we land this plane?
Let's do it. So if you've been stuck second-guessing yourself or waiting for the perfect answer to a decision, here's the good news. Business and life rewards action. Action requires decision. So back your judgment, make the call, learn, adjust, and keep moving forward. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Ever feel like you're sprinting your business but still falling behind? You know you need more help, but the thought of hiring makes your stomach churn. What if they're no good? What if they quit? And what if we run out of work? Tune into this episode where we discuss why waiting to hire is a killer of business growth and why the way you are thinking about hiring is probably wrong and the practical steps you need to take to make sure you get this right. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.